There's the wolf, the hunter, the little girl, and that Red Hood that features so prominently in the fairy tale. Red Riding Hood has morphed with the decades, but our knowledge of the fairy tale remains fixated on the Brothers Grimm morality fable. Catherine Orenstein is the latest writer to take Red to task in a new book called Uncloaked: Sex, Morality, and the Evolution of a Fairy Tale. Catherine, the parentage of the tale that we know, most of us are familiar with the Grimm version, but you begin with a earlier version that goes back to the time of the court of Louis XIV, the Sun King.
Yes, that was the first literary version of the fairy tale, penned by Charles Perrault in 1697 for adults. As all fairy tales were back in the 17th century, and they featured the prominent concerns of the day, sexual and social politics, morality, education, marriage, and especially the behavior of women. In French slang in the 17th century, when a girl lost her virginity, it was said that elle avait vu le loup, she had seen the wolf. Charles Perrault's Le Petit Chaperon Rouge was a seduction story. The girl climbs in bed with a wolf, and the wolf eats her, and at the end of the story, Perrault put an explicit rhyming moral verse warning young women of Versailles to watch out for wolves, that is, the lecherous noblemen of Versailles.
And would you just give us that little warning rhyme that Perrault includes?
Sure. Little girls, this seems to say, never stop upon your way. Never trust a stranger friend. No one knows how it will end. As you're pretty, so be wise. Wolves may lurk in every guise. Handsome, they may be in kind. Gay and charming, never mind. Now as then, 'tis simple truth. Sweetest tongue has sharpest tooth.
I really like this version of the story. Of course, later on, there's a hunter who saves Little Red. She doesn't get eaten. So how did we get from a version in which the little girl dies to one in which she saves herself or is saved?
In the 19th century, the Brothers Grimm rewrote the story. The Brothers Grimm are, quote-unquote, the fathers of folklore. They were at the helm of this movement, recreating stories for children, and their stories de-emphasized the sexual undertones of the French fables, and they added new emphases. For example, many of their stories are more violent. Part of that is to enforce new ideas of obedience that is for children and young girls and women, as in the case of Little Red Riding Hood.
How has Little Red Riding Hood been reinterpreted in the 20th and 21st centuries? And certainly she seems to be a lot more ubiquitous and a lot more interesting than Sleeping Beauty.
Little Red Riding Hood is one of our most ubiquitous fairy tale characters, probably because it addresses so many central concerns. I'm talking here about the role of women and of men, but the story also addresses family. Sometimes the story has been used to address race. In Nazi Germany, for example, they sometimes cast the wolf as a Jew, whereas in World War II, American posters sometimes cast the wolf as a Nazi. The story has been so many things over time. In the 20th century, some of the more interesting interpretations of the story I found were, well, first of all, an incredible sexualization of the story in advertisements of the mid-20th century. One of my favorite is a hilarious ad for Max Factor's Ripe Young Riding Hood Red Lipstick, and it depicted a femme fatale in a red cape with red nails and red lipstick. Behind the woman, there's a forest of trees, and from behind the trees peep these Rock Hudson lookalikes, and the ad copy promises that the lipstick shade will help any woman who wears it to bring out the wolves. And I think this ad it's hilarious, just the image, but also the idea is very telling because, you know, the story originally warned young women or young girls to watch out, to not speak to strangers. And suddenly you have this ad preaching about bringing the wolves out.
I like the way that she has been reinterpreted by poets and satirists and writers. Anne Sexton has a powerful poem in which she uses Red Riding Hood as an image. And here's a few lines by Roald Dahl in his Little Red Riding Hood and the Wolf. As soon as Wolf began to feel that he would like a decent meal, he went and knocked on Grandma's door. When Grandma opened it, she saw the sharp white teeth, the horrid grin, and Wolfie said, "May I come in?" Poor Grandmama was terrified. "He's going to eat me up," she cried, and he was absolutely right. He ate her up in one big bite. Now, we know that Roald Dahl has reinterpreted a lot of fairy tales for kids, but he seems to have had a lot of fun with the Red Riding Hood tale.
Yes, he did. And the way that poem ends is particularly funny, too, because he's in, you know, he's dramatically revised the ending. Just as the wolf is about to pounce upon Little Red Riding Hood, the small girl smiles, one eyelid flickers. She whips a pistol from her knickers. She aims it at the creature's head, and bang, 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 she shoots him dead. A few weeks later, in the wood, I came across Miss Riding Hood. But what a change! No cloak of red, no silly hood upon her head. She said, "Hello, and please do note my lovely furry wolfskin coat."
Catherine Orenstein, thank you so very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Jackie.
Catherine Orenstein is the author of Little Red Riding Hood Uncloaked: Sex, Morality, and the Evolution of a Fairy Tale.